I thought you was introing it today,
oh,
didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Okay. Hello! Hello, Merry Christmas. Going,
all these things I want to say to people, I do the intro, and we just started staring at each other through a computer screen.
Right, let's start that again.
No, you know that's going to stay in.
Yeah, true. Well, anyway, Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to episode 20 of the Mission Darts podcast, and we want a Christmas present from you. We want to make sure you're subscribed and make sure you've shared the channel with somebody for Christmas, because we're finding lots and lots of new dart players out there and they don't know where to go for their content. So share the channel with them. That's your Christmas present to us, and we'll reward you by continuing to give you great videos through the festive period.
I think we could go one better than that, Andy.
Okay.
I think we can go for some announcements. Why not? Let's pull back the curtain. The podcast is kind of raw in the fact that I haven't got a clue what you're going to talk about today, because I've got to go out and do my Christmas shopping in a minute. It's Christmas Eve. I haven't done it yet. So the podcast is raw. The podcast is somewhere where we sort of peel back the curtain and give a little bit more information to those people that want to come and get a bit of long form and a bit of chat. Let's be honest. Let's be truthful. Let's reveal things. You say we're going to do more. We are. I have just signed a contract extension with Mission that is going to see my hours increase within the company, which means we're going to film more content. Not only that, our videographer and our video editor has now signed a full-time contract with Mission, meaning that he's going to be editing the content we're going to be doing with our extra time, meaning there's going to be more stuff, but also we can get more technical, we can go more in depth, we can go more detailed, and those videos are going to have a lot more time taken on them, which means they're going to be higher quality.
So just imagine, I've had my first year with you, Matt, and now we're going to spend more time together. I mean, who would agree to that? But we have. So you're going to see more of Matt and Andy in 2025, lots more. The old favourites are going to come back, Matt. The Rate My Hockey Series 3 will be coming in the new year, plus lots and lots of different things. We've listened to you. You've sent in some great ideas. We've got a million ideas of our own, Matt, haven't we? Yeah. And you're going to see lots and lots of series alongside the very popular stuff that we know you like the coaching series and that sort of stuff as well. So you're going to get every bit of darts content that you want coming your way.
All in one place.
All in one place. Going to be really, really easy, and everything's going to be there. So that's super exciting, because we do need more of Andy's time. We are creating more videos. You and I need more time together. We've got all that. We've got no excuses. Not that we need any anyway. So we will crack on in 2025.
I've got so much in here that I want to show. But the things that have always held it back was time, budgets. There's so much in here, and I want to bring it out. I want to show it, and we're going to show some more. We're showing a little bit of it in 2024. We're going to show a bit more in 2025. And do you know what, right? Genuinely, wherever I go now, if I go to a tournament or if I come online to do like a watch along on my own channel, or I do anything like that, I do a live. Every time I do that, someone always asks me, how's the ambience?
Yeah.
I'm glad Andy cut out a lot of the things in there, like, because I came up with some absolute nonsense sentences. Remember when we were in Clacton and we're at Aladdin's Cave?
Yeah.
And then Aladdin's Cave came up about seven times across that series. Yeah. I'm glad that's not in, because I'm everywhere I go is ambience. Imagine what it'd be like in Aladdin's Cave in there as well.
Yeah, guys walk into Precision Fittings now. They're like, harsh Andy today. I'm like, no, just Precision Andy today. So, yeah, it's great that the catchphrases are kicking on. I can definitely see a hoodie range with ambience on it or something like that. But I'm sure there'll be some ambience in Series 3, which we'll be filming while you guys are probably holidaying and enjoying your Christmas holidays. Matt, I, and Andy will be on the road, up and down the length and breadth of the country. We're still in England for this one, I believe, and filming lots and lots of new episodes.
Ooh, a bit of a tease there as well.
Yeah, and we possibly a new category as well, because we're going to talk about that. We've had a few ideas. We definitely want to get value in there, because we've never had that. We want to get value because now there's more and more places charging, and there's places that it's £8 a pint and the places it's £3 a pint. So we're going to get value in there somehow into the categories. So that's going to be really, really exciting.
The categories are not nailed down. So if you are watching this and you think, I would like to see this category, I mean, facilities came into play because of the feedback we got. If you like Rate My Hockey and you would like to see something included, chuck us some suggestions, because the categories, the 10 categories of which we're judging this by, are not nailed down. Some of them have to stay in. I think board condition is vital. I think hockey is vital. You know, certain things we have to have in there, but I think others we can either play on or we can expand the category, because facilities came from a different category in Series 1, and when we expanded it, didn't we, to make it even better? Was it like board surroundings? I think it was board surroundings. Then we changed board surrounding to facilities to include things like the toilets, the car parks, things like that. We can maybe, like, value is probably going to be an expansion of another category rather than its own standalone one.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, that's really exciting. Those of you that don't already, well, you don't already know. I was just saying, those of you that don't know, none of you know, Matt and I will be doing a live on New Year's Day. Alive.
Can't wait to tell Mrs. about that one.
Well, I know you don't drink much anyway, so you'll probably be up till midnight, because you I know this is your favorite time of year. So, but yeah, New Year, you just made me laugh there, because, like, you know full well we arranged this a month ago, and you're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to tell her. Like, you haven't already told her. So maybe when we arrange this stuff, I need to start emailing your missus and going, oh, by the way, this is where your husband will be. So yeah, New Year's Day, when you're all full of festivities, you're all hungover, but you've got the darts on, Matt and I will be doing a live on the channel. And I think I'm going to leave that one up to you, Matt, to set up, because I did try a live the other day and it was going very nicely for 90 minutes. And then everything just decided to crash for no reason and wouldn't come back on. So, yeah, I'll leave the technical things to you. And there's not many times people have said, oh, don't worry about it. Leave the tech stuff to Matt.
We're still waiting for me to open an email. How long's that been?
No, that's because you haven't set up the email on your laptop. I'm actually going to get the IT department to email you on your phone to say, this is how you set it up on your laptop.
Yeah, because I've got the email on my phone, but on my laptop. But then if I click on the link that you want me to go on, it asks me to log in and I don't know what my password is. I'm like, Andy, what's the password? Like, you set it up. Don't know.
But yeah, I'm leaving you in charge.
I use my face now. So everything on my phone, like, if I don't use passwords, it's all auto-loaded in. So when it comes to it, I just scan my face, done. I don't know any passwords. So when it's asking me to put a password in, I'm like, what's my password, Andy? You're like, you did it.
Right, Matt, you do know you've got an iPhone and you do know there's a little app on it called Passwords. No, you don't know that, do you? There's a little app called Passwords, right? And you look at it with your face and it will then show you all the sites, all the passwords that you've got saved. How about that? It's on your phone somewhere. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, really? How you've got this far is just beyond me.
Well, what was it, a week or two ago when we was coming up with plans for the content? So we're coming up with ideas and things all the time. And I said, right, what we need to get an external hard drive. And you was like, just use the cloud, just use Dropbox.
Yeah, it's not 1982, Matt. Yeah, there is a thing called the cloud now where you can just share. It's amazing, you know, but yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, we haven't even mentioned darts, have we? And we're right in the middle of it. This is going out on Sunday, so that will be the 29th. Sunday the 29th, right in the middle of the world. So everybody's full of turkey. I had enough turkey to I don't know, but I had enough turkey by now. Although I'm having beef, actually, on Christmas Day. I'm going to my dad's, and he said, no, we're not having turkey this year, we're having beef. So I was like, great, fabulous, I love beef. So... but everyone will have been stuffed full of turkey and alcohol and everything else, having a great time by then. And you'll get a little piece of us. This is going out on the 29th. So when you're hearing this, you'll be like, ah, great. But we will be right in the middle of the worlds, Matt. Are you enjoying it so far? I think it's the weirdest world championship ever for me.
I've not long recorded a video. So, I mean, I've...
Oh.
This really? Isn't me being prepared, by the way. This is me. I did a video earlier, so I've got like...
and notes.
I've got loads. So these are like key talking points. I mean, at the time of the halfway point, and let me just reel off a couple to you really, really quickly. Six of the top 16 are out. Record number of seeds being eliminated. Michael Smith looks like he's going to drop out the top 16 despite entering world number two. If Dimitri Vandenberg, Gilding or Searle win, he drops out the top 16.
Wow.
Three players losing cards. Simon Whitlock, Boris Kritchmar, Wesley Plaisier, who temporarily moved in and then dropped out. We've got two qualifiers still in the event, Paolo and Robert Owen. Three ton plus averages. Robert Owen now sat on the bubble, so potentially could keep his card, potentially could lose it. Premier League hopefuls, seven names that have been in the Premier League conversation, all eliminated. Smith, Wade, Edhouse, Chizzy, Anderson, De Decker and Cross. Rob Cross looks like he's going to drop out the world's top four, which means he'll need an invite to the Premier League if he's going to play in it. I can reel stories off all day, but I know there's one you want to talk about, and that is there's a bit of a kickoff. Joe Cullum.
Oh, do you know, how did you know I wanted to talk about that? I have because not mentioned that yesterday. To you. Oh, yeah, okay. I forget that we text each other 100 times a day. Yeah. Oh, God, that's brilliant. I was thinking, has he just read my mind? It's at the top of my list here. Yeah. Joe Cullen storms out of an interview because the press have been giving him a hard time. Huh? I'm sorry? What, do you think the press are there to tell you how wonderful you are all the time? Because guess what? That doesn't sell papers. Or in the modern day, that doesn't make people read news articles, I'm afraid. People want to read something bad has happened or somebody's playing rubbish or whatever, that sort of stuff. And I didn't quite get it. I was like, and I like Joe, and I was, you know, friends with him on the tour back in the day. And I was like, Joe, you kind of know the territory by now. You've been in it for years. You know that they're not going to be nice to you all the time. And the fact is, you have been playing crap. So you've only got yourself to blame. You know, guess what? When you're playing unbelievably well, as Luke Littler is, they don't write any bad press. They go, this guy's amazing. He's going to be world champion. But when you're playing crap, they go, oh, this guy's playing crap. He's probably not going to win. We'll make the other guy favourite. He was almost kicking off that he wasn't favourite in the game, that more people were talking about Wessel and him. And it was like, I just didn't get it, Matt. And then to storm out, like it was only like a 3-minute video anyway, the interview, I was like, what's your take on it?
Okay.
Couldn't see you doing that, Matt.
I've got lots of takes on it. And do you know what? You say you wouldn't see me doing it, but by the end take, you might. So, first thing, I'm going to pick up on something you said. Negativity sells, 100%. We are programmed and we live in a very negative world, despite the fact that you may think we don't. So, for example, if you decided to walk into work tomorrow and on your way in, you met 100 people and 99 of them said, good morning, Andy, how are you doing today? Good morning, Andy. You'd feel disturbed by about 50. You'd be like, leave me the we'll do that again so Andy can edit that out. You'd go, leave me alone, like, let me get on with my day. But if one person stops you out of those 100 people and says, Andy, I think you're a bit of a knobhead, you'd be like, hold on a minute, why do you think? And you'd spend more time with that one person that was negative to you than the 99 that was positive. And the 99 that are positive would probably you'd feel that hassling you by the end of it. So what sells? Negativity. And so, yeah, you'll pick up on the negative story. You say Luke Littler, they've found negative stories about Luke Littler, you know, and they'll continue to find them. Because, again, that's what kind of people want to read, because they indulge in that negativity, which is a shame. But when we look at Joe Cullen, there's a couple of takes here. The first one is the player's take. So again, as I said, I've been looking at numbers this morning because I've been looking at... So Joe Cullen, in regards to win percentage this year, 44%. He's lost 56% of his matches. 44% is the worst rate Joe Cullen has ever had in a season. And he's been playing darts since 2010. So 14 years, this is his worst ever season for wins. Not only that, average-wise, 60th in the averages for the year. So mid-rank of the Pro Tour. In regards to qualifying for Minehead, so that is with... Even with his seed in that, yeah, is, but that is literally over those events. Number 60, he squeezed in at the very, very end. FDI Index, which is a very, very good system of stats and data, they rate him at 1677, which, according to their stats, places him a mid-ranked Pro Tour player. So on form over the last year, he's been a mid-ranked Pro Tour player. Now, he says, oh, I'm the seed, I should have won. But he's not a seed over 12 months, he's a seed over 24 months. So it's the previous 12 months that made him the seed, not this 12 months. So the form, yeah. The bookies, they don't want to lose money. They're not going to make him favourite if he's not on form or he's not got the numbers. And ultimately, the bookies only... are there following the trend. So that tells me people were putting their money on Wessel Naiman. So it wasn't just people going, I want a bad mouth Joe Cullen. They was putting their money where their mouth was and going, Wessel's going to beat him. And you know what? If they replayed that game again, Wessel would be favourite. But here's the interesting thing. And this is where Joe Cullen's done a great job. Because had Joe Cullen not given that interview, would we be talking about Joe Cullen now?
No.
Joe Cullen has done an amazing job because now Joe Cullen's in the headlines. Joe Cullen's on Sky Sports. Joe Cullen's in all the papers. There's a lot of talk about Joe Cullen. Joe Cullen has now made you feel something about Joe Cullen because now you're harsh Andy when you come to Joe Cullen. There's people watching this right now who will go, I don't like Joe Cullen. He was rude to Abby. He was rude to the interviewers. What on earth is his problem? I hope he gets smashed by Gerwyn Price. There'll be people here going, Joe's right. Stick it to them, Joe. How can they be like that? You're the seed. You've been around for years. How can they have this debutant coming, or not debutant, but this new player coming in and being favourite? And you're right, Joe. I hope you go out and smash Gerwyn Price. Whichever side of the fence you sit on, Joe Cullen's now made you feel something about his game. So as a player, as an entertainer, he has ticked a massive box because now there's going to be eyes on his game because you want a result either way. The worst thing to do as a dart player, the worst feeling in the world is to go on that stage and just be there. Just go up. Is he going to play a good game? What's the, you know, the worst thing is that where now people can, there's going to be games, even now, last 32 of the World Championship, third round, where the story doesn't matter. You're almost right. I want that game to be done because I want to watch that next one. In the wrestling world, they call them toilet breaks. And with that, Joe Cullen now has made you care about his match. He has done an amazing job. And not just this match, you will now follow for the next couple of months where you'll go, do you know what? I hope he gets beat for months now after doing that. You know, you care.
Yeah, okay. So, and I, as usual, I do agree with your point of view on that and everything you're saying. But here's my take on it. So, number one, did he do that on purpose? So I've run businesses and been involved in marketing a very, very long time. And if he did do it on purpose, yeah, it's a good move because it's got people talking about him. However, I would have been doing that when I'd got beat, not when I'd won, because you know what's going to happen. He's going to go on the stage and the crowd are going to give him hell. I'm pretty sure after the way he was with Abby, the crowd are going to give him hell. And Joe's not the sort of person that'll feed off that. Gezi will, although Gezi famously went on with headphones. So maybe he wouldn't. But there are certain players that will take the crowd's negative energy, they're booing him, and turn it around. I've seen that happen. And it's brilliant when they do it. But there are other players that it absolutely crucifies them and they can't deal with the whistling, the booing, the hating. Even though a lot of it's playful, they can't deal with it.
Well, that's your, I don't think Joe's one of them. Point one there. Did he do it on purpose?
Yeah.
If the answer's no, if this is organic, I agree. Joe will not like that. I've known Joe a lot of years. I think I met him in 2011, so I've known him 13 years. So Joe won't like that. Joe does play and had played a lot of football, so probably used to the bantery sort of thing. So it's something I think he could deal with should he have done this on purpose. Now, I will, like you say, you didn't think I'd do something like that. Do you know what? There's been things I've said or there's been things I've done, I can hand on heart say, was done deliberately, or I'd say something. And do you know, even like this year, when I lost at Lakeside, And the post goes out, Matt's lost. It was bombarded with people. Oh, glad he's lost that, glad he's lost that. But either way, by you saying you're glad that you've lost that, I've won. Because by you wanting me to lose, I've done my job because you cared about my game.
But that's kind of what I'm saying.
Is Joe doing that? Is Joe, if Joe set out to do that, he can deal with it 100%. If he didn't set out to do that, and this is just an organic reaction, it can feel like rejection. So,
and I don't think he did. I watched it a couple of times, and it was almost like I've had all this built up inside me, and I've been waiting for a moment to give it you all. It's like you've been giving me shit for weeks and months, and I've wanted to give it you back, and now here you go. I'm going to give it you back, and I'm going to walk out. So, sod you, your interview's like nothing now because I've gone. And that's the way it came across. I think you and I would have been able to read it if it was staged, if it was on purpose. So I actually think it was honest. I think he was very frustrated. He was probably frustrated with his own game and probably thought, I'll show him. I'll show him. And a wounded dart player is a dangerous one. And he played great and deserved the win. But yeah, if he was doing it on purpose, he should have chosen.
But by doing that and by walking out, that Joe Cullen interview after beating Wessel Naiman, we're talking 1,000 to 2,000 views.
Yeah.
It's now been doing 30,000 and 50,000 and 70,000 across the platforms. So he has just, and that then, right, again, the businessman inside me in the entertainment world comes out because I think, right, if I go in there and I say these things, because there was people going, oh, if I was his sponsor, I'd pull off his shirt after that. That's disgusting. Why? He's just gave you so many more views than he would have gave you in the first place. Your product is now in front of more eyes because of the actions of Joe Cullen. When you look in the past and you look at people like Conor McGregor when he was going up to his peak in MMA, he wasn't somebody who was being very respectful and, oh, what a gentleman. He was being an absolute bellmouth. With that, again, let's say negativity. And sometimes you give people something that's very relatable because everyone's met that version of Joe Cullen somewhere in their life, that kind of self-entitlement that he was dealt with in that interview where it's like, you should be talking about me, it's me, it's me. Without saying that, that's the vibe of the interview. And everyone's met one of those in their life. So if he was to portray, if this is something that he has thought about or something he's thought, do you know what? I'm going to take it. Then brilliant. And I want to see more of it, to be honest. Because do you know what I hate? You know, I've been around the tour for what now 13 years in a playing capacity for 11 and now in a punditry and media capacity. I stand off camera with people and they tell me all sorts.
Yeah.
And they go on camera and they give such a generic hands behind their back, rubbishy interview.
Yeah.
And do you know what? If Joe Cullen really feels like that, I'm delighted he spoke and said it. Whether he's right or wrong is a different thing, but the fact he felt like that and said it, that's what I want to see. If you're right or wrong, that's for another day. But say what you really think. And in that, as much as I didn't like you know, Joe being rude to people like Abby, because I thought it was a little bit unnecessary. You can make your point without being rude to an innocent party. That would be the thing I didn't like about it. You can make a point without being rude to an innocent party. And by the way, Abby Davies, incredible. Put in that spot as an interviewer, you normally, you go in with two questions, you ask your first one, and then you've got a backup question in case you need it, and then you're trying to pick up on something to say, and he gave nothing. And Abby saved that segment. She did a fantastic job there as a broadcast in that spot with millions of eyes watching in front of a crowd, to be able to be composed the way she did to pull that off, I thought was amazing. You know, shows experience and class on Abby Davies. But I'm a fan, I'm not a fan. You know, and I'm looking at your reaction. You went in as harsh Andy. You're now sat there smiling, and you're probably thinking, do you know what? When you put it in this perspective, actually, it changes a little bit, and the entertainment side of it starts coming through. And the fact I think like this is why you sent me a message over a year ago. I went, Matt, we want to get you on mission because this is the game.
And it is a game. And like I say, if he's done it on purpose, great, because it happens so much in business now that people don't even realize. They don't even realize. If you remember this, there's always the Christmas adverts now, isn't there? That, oh, when's the John Lewis advert coming out? When's the Coca-Cola advert coming? And I don't know who it was this year. I can't even remember now, but somebody's Christmas advert was totally woke. Totally. And everyone, oh, have you seen that? Oh, God, it's wokeism gone mental. So what did everyone do? Everyone watched it. Everyone in the world watched it to see how woke it was and then went, oh, it's so woke, it's horrendous. Have you watched it? Yeah. All right. Have they done their job then? Has the marketing team done their job? Absolutely they have.
But not only that, you went on social media and posted about it as well.
Exactly. Yeah, if he's done it on purpose, great. But it's interesting. It's a good segue because you mentioned Wessel Nyman there. And I think at this point, it'd be a great point to mention our picks. And when we started looking at the draw, and I was talking, Wessel was my outsider, but although he was, I think, seventh in the betting. He was my kind of, yep, this guy's going to do really well. I looked at the draw and thought, yeah, he's gone. We both picked Gary Anderson, who's gone first round. Mike Dedeker, I could go out, Connor Scott, all are kind of, oh yeah, these guys are going to get through a few rounds here. You know, we fancy that segment of the draw. It's all come crashing down. And like, Ricky Evans got through last night against, like, none of us even mentioned Ricky.
I had that in my predictions, actually, last night.
Did you? Oh, well, that's a good shout because, it was another great final set. There's been a couple of great final sets.
You last week. Oh, this is the greatest set I've ever seen. But do you know what, right? When you say the greatest set you've ever seen, and then Luke Littler went and did what he did
that
near
still
the end
is.
Of 41.
No, yeah, still better than Luke.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I was going to make that point because I saw someone in the comments of last week's pod go,
It's been beaten now. Yeah.
Yeah. The greatest set of all time doesn't always come down to who's thrown the better darts. It comes down to the context and the story around it and everything that goes with that set. Yes. It's not just who produces the highest average. That's one way of looking at it. But for me, you know, I say all the time, I'm all about the story. I enjoy the story more than I enjoy, oh, he's just averaged 110. Yeah, but actually, he's averaged 85 and kept hold of his tour card. I'm more impressed with that. Or I more want to watch that because I can see what it means to him. And you can almost sort of like sympathize with it because we've all been in that position somewhere in our life where either our job or our career or we're doing an exam or a test or we're doing something where we need to go up and produce. We've all done our GCSEs. We've all done something. So we've all experienced something very similar, relatable. So I enjoy that, like you say, the story and the set that you're talking about. That had story to it rather than just Luke Littler steamrolling.
Incredible.
Somewhere.
Yeah, as was Chizzy's and Ricky Evans's last set last night. That was pretty exciting as well. Ricky getting, Chizzy miscounting. Did you see that? I don't even think I've ever seen Chizzy miscount before. He is one of the better counters. It got me thinking about counting again. I know I had a rant about it last week, but why is it that the Dutch players are the best counters in the world? And is it? I did hear a rumor they teach it in school and this sort of thing. I don't know whether that's true or not. But there is not a Dutch player that is not an incredible counter. I mean, Michael van Gogh is the best of the lot. He can miss a number and he doesn't even flinch. You know, so why? Why, Matt?
So as you know, I work now for the last couple of years in broadcast and punditry. Now, while ever we're doing, so commentary is one of the hardest jobs in the world. You've got a lot of things going on in your earpiece whilst trying to call and commentate on a game. Now, in my earpiece, I hear the director and I hear the spotter. The spotter's responsible for the counting and the numbers. And there's a player that I've commentated on a few times that every time he's on in my ear, they say the best counter in the world. And every time someone comes up and they count with, so Connor Scott is deemed to be an incredible counter. Incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
And when he comes on, this guy's name comes up and they go, he's nearly on par with. That's how highly regarded Connor Scott is in his county. Do you think you can name who that player is? And I'm just, and while we're doing this, viewers, just have a think. If you want to as well, just pause the video right here, right now. Go put in the comment section who you think it's going to be, and then come back to hear the answer revealed after Andy has a guess at who the directors, and we're talking directors that have seen everything. They direct ITV, Sky, and all the Matchroom produced stuff like the European tours, things like that. Yeah. So, this is like they've seen everything.
Is it a Dutch
I'm not going to give you a clue. I'm just going to literally say, who do you think is the best counter in the world? Connor Scott is the only person I've heard anyone say is close to this guy for counting.
I'd have to say, I think it's going to be a Dutch player because they're all brilliant. So I would have to go MVG.
Okay. Hopefully by now people have paused the video and put their suggestions in the comments. I'd look if you haven't, do it now, because I really want to see who you think before the answer is given.
If you say Johnny Clayton, if you say Johnny Clayton, I'm walking out. Just letting you know.
I want to see if anyone gets it before before it's revealed. So well, I really want to see those comments. I've built it up enough. I've left it long enough. Right, let's give you the answer. It's Jose de Sat. No, it's...
No, it's Leonard Gates. Oh, my God. What?
He's a genius. He's just duping you all. He's hustling. No, the answer is Jelle Klaassen.
I said it would be a Dutch player. There you go. Wow.
Jelle Klaassen, deemed the absolute ultimate best counter in the world ever. By
not surprised.
The behind-the-scenes crew, the directors, the producers, the spotters.
Yeah, and he's speedy too, so he's got to be, you know, he's a speedy thrower, so he's got to be, that's what makes it even more impressive, I think, with the fast players when they're going up, and they don't even flinch. It's great to watch.
And then Connor, closely regarded as number two to Klaassen.
Fair play.
One of the spotters that I work with even suggests he's on par with Jelle Klaassen. But they all, every single one of them, Jelle Klaassen's the gold standard.
There you go. I wonder if he'll ever return.
He's on the tour, isn't he?
Has he got a card?
Yeah. Pretty sure he has.
Are we quickly searching now?
Certain he has. He just didn't have a great year.
What, did he get it? He got it through the Euro side of things. I've not seen him do well. He's certainly not been in any TV events. I don't recall seeing him in a Euro.
Yeah,
no,
he got £11,750 this year, 109th in the Order of Merit.
Oh, well, that's why we haven't seen him then. Is that his first year?
Yeah.
And so he's got a lot to do, hasn't he? He's got a lot to do. I just don't even remember seeing him in a Euro or anything. Mm. I don't recall.
No, you don't follow darts as intensely as I do, you see.
You weren't certain. You weren't certain.
Well, I knew he had one. Oh, well, where he was.
Yeah, because, maybe we will see the return of Yellow then. Maybe.
He was on the Super Series a couple of years ago, and we didn't have him this year, so that's how I knew he'd got the card.
Speaking to one of his sponsors, his dart sponsors, and saying he's a nightmare. He literally wants to change every week. He changes his setup every week. Every week we're making a new barrel. He's never happy with what he's got, and that could be potentially being a problem for him if he can't stick with you. If you're not happy with your equipment, it is a tough.
Well, funny you should say that, actually. So I was looking at my darts, Andy, right, and I was thinking,
I'm getting you in. I think that you need to get in the comments below. Should I give Matt a mini precision fitting and we'll film it? Not a full one, because he's happy with his tungsten dart, I think. But I want to look at the back. I want to look, Matt, at your back end.
What? I beg your pardon?
I want to look at your back end. That's what I call the back end of your dart, the stem and flight. I'm not convinced. You've been using that setup for a long, long time. And I think if we start looking at molded systems and all the different shapes and weights and everything, not yet.
I used a molded once on the slims, but I'll never use a molded again. Is a video I want to do next year, because you're a big advocate for molded and I'm an advocate for folded. So I want to do a folded versus molded.
Did you think about that phrase before you came on? You're an advocate for molded. I'm an advocate for folded.
Yeah, foldable flights. It's an interesting way of putting it, you know, because people understand the terminology. But actually, all jokes aside, so the tungsten, I'm actually thinking, I reckon if there was a little bit longer, it'd be quite interesting. Because my darts are standing up a little bit at the minute. I've changed my grip.
Right. And so we're not releasing your darts in January then. They're not being launched in January. The actual dart you're holding.
Oh, yeah, they're coming out in January,
I mean, you couldn't make it up. I know it's Christmas and everyone's giddy, but
There you go, I've changed it. I've gone to a different dart.
Yeah. What on earth is that?
It's like a custom dart the missus uses.
Okay. It looks like a rebus dart that we do. But anyway.
It's quite a nice one, actually.
Guess what?
I've dropped that now as well. Right.
It's not the dart, Matt. It's the fact you don't play anymore. Just admit it.
I think it's because I've changed my grip.
You don't play anymore. You don't practice 4 hours a day anymore. You don't do 4 hours a week. You probably don't do 4 hours a month. That's why you're not the player you were. I know you still think that you're 22 and you're going to be world champion, but guess what? You don't practice. I don't practice. I pick up my darts. Sometimes I hit a 180. Sometimes I hit 26 five times on the trot. You know, I don't play anymore. It's just... I know you're finding it hard to grasp. I know you can't let go. I know you did that great thing last week on the podcast. I can't do it. Or you were doing your boy zone. But I think that it's not, nobody's saying you can't play darts anymore. Of course you can. You're still young and you've still got the ability. You just don't have the time. It's that simple. If you want to give up mission, give up your YouTube channel, give up commentary and go back to playing, I'm sure your missus would be right behind you. I'm sure she'd love to go and get three extra jobs to pay the bills.
Let's have a look quickly, just as a rough guide. Let's have a look.
Oh,
wow. Okay. Yeah. So if I was to do that, I would probably need to be... Well, I'd have to be sort of...
Top 50.
In the 30s, in the 30s minimum,
So good luck with that. Good luck with that. Right, well,
but then my expenses go up as well, don't they? So I'll probably be more like top 30.
Top 20.
Yeah, top 32 needed to earn the same. I think I'll stay where I am, thanks.
Right, a couple of comments for you while you're waxing lyrical. We talked last week about fathers and sons, and Ricky Lewis 3035 has said the other father and son on tour was Steve Brown. Can't remember his son's name.
I probably should have remembered this because Steve Brown missed a... So during the COVID year, Steve Brown went back to his room to watch John play his UK Open game, and Steve got timed out for his game with Scott Waites because he went back to the room and then he missed his time.
No.
So, yeah, he got timed out. So, ironic.
Oh, dear. And then one more. This is quite a long one, this. So it's got a little bit of humour in there as well. So this is Steel Otter 501. Been listening to this podcast tucked up in my blanket, having tea and a chocolate muffin. Sounds nice. Trying to cope with yesterday. So many seeds have gone out. It's a disaster. I wish I could go back in time. However... Could you maybe do a video on advanced counting? I know my checkouts and I know where to go, but I can't seem to find a formula for the advanced counting. And I think by that he means the sort of when we talk about 309 downwards and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe we can do something about that in the future in our coaching series. It'd have to be advanced level because it's not for beginners. Thinking about what you're going for on 305, but maybe it's
so with that, it's a couple of things. First of all, I read that comment myself, and like you did read that incorrectly at first, I had to read it back a few times that opening line, because that was questionable,
it was.
We can do a video on this, absolutely, not a problem. We can do a video. But if we do this video, we're going to make this video based on being players and being the players that we are and the players that we were. And we will give you our perspective. We won't necessarily give you something that's 100% elite level counting. We'll give you something that's about, something that's a player.
Yeah.
And I think we can do this, but I think we should do this with a guest. And I think we should do this with a guest who I've got right in my phone right here, right now, who is elite level counting, is a professional referee. He works behind the scenes on basically everything number related. He's literally, he's writing programs. So I think we need to pull someone on who's above our station on this one, who's probably going to teach us things that we didn't even think about. And I think next year, certainly when the PDC roll into Wigan, which isn't too far away from Bolton, I think that's when maybe we pull him in and we get someone on who's going to... Because one thing I don't want to do, like, if we're going to share expertise, I want it to be the best expertise. And if there's someone out there who's better than us at this knowledge, I think we should pull them in. And
absolutely.
We can give something good, but can we give something amazing?
Yeah, yes, and I don't think we should be going top, top level, as in the reasons why you don't hit 99 with your first three darts. And all. We're not going to go that far. But I think there's a lot of people out there looking at the TV going 265, why is he going at 19s? It doesn't, I can't, it doesn't make any sense to me. So like explaining that, you know, like 271, why is he going on 19s? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. And things like that, maybe we can explain that to people. And like you say, if we can get an expert on, even better. Talking of people watching the TV, I have definitely heard more people this year going, you've been watching the darts? How do you think it's going? Like, you don't even watch darts. What are you on about? Yeah, I'm into it. I've been watching it. Like, people that have never watched darts before, wives, girlfriends, mums, grannies, they're like, yeah, watching the darts. What, every night? Yeah, every night.
I was out yesterday.
The viewing figures. The viewing figures must be through the roof, man. They must be.
Big time.
Yeah.
I was out yesterday, and everywhere I went, the darts was on. I walked down the street and I saw through a window in the pub and the darts was on. And I was like, and, you know, the egotistical side of me goes in. We go, do you know what? I wonder if when I was playing, people would walk down the street and see me. Like,
no, I didn't have to colour TVs then, Matt.
And I went on long enough. I was...
that's it. Everybody turned it on for your lakeside, but they were 10 minutes late and missed you. It's funny you should say that, actually, because I know you do take the mick, and you've every right to take the mick about my playing career, because it only lasted 5 months before I gave it all up. But I was actually on TV. So my UK Open that I qualified for, I played John Bowles, and I was on stage two, if you remember, at the Reebok. They had two main stages and then all the boards. And they, because we were both tour card holders and had both got them in the same year, they put us on stage two. Obviously, all my mates were like, right, we're going to be watching it. And they all taped it. I don't know what you do, Sky Plus it or whatever you do these days. And I literally played it back. And I think they showed about 7 seconds of our game, which was John hitting the winning. They didn't even show my 1-2-4 on the bull to make it 3-3, because then it was best of seven. And that was brutal, Matt. Best of seven. You've qualified to be in a major and you're at best of seven. So, he beat 4-3. 2011, 2012, something like that.
Right.
It was at the Reebok. Best of seven. And I was on stage too.
It left there in 2013. So the Reebok was the last one in 2013. So 2011 was my first one. And
8 seconds. You can't beat that.
I was about to say, what can you do in 8 seconds? But you probably quite a lot. So,
yeah, I can write a list of, I can put the right thing in my sat nav. That's what I can do in 8 seconds. So I'm not going to Basingstoke.
You've got it all to come again soon.
I know. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought that I'm going to do it all again? It was funny. Oh, last week, Matt, we got talking, didn't we, about hotels, and you were like, "Oh yeah, you're far too posh." And I was like, "Well, maybe I'm older." And then the very next minute, you're like, "Yeah, what are you having for lunch?" You're having like beans on toast. I'm like, "Oh, I'm just having anchovies on toast." And you were like, "I told you you were posh."
Yeah, because you video called me, and you was like, "Oh, you're just having your lunch," and I was like, "Yeah, I'm just having some cheese and crackers."
Yeah, I was having anchovies. I'd found a tin of anchovies in the cupboard, and I thought, "Oh, they'll go nice on toast." And they were delicious, actually. But yeah, I just thought, "Oh, you've totally got me now. You've absolutely got me. You're having cheese and biscuits, and I'm having anchovies on toast." Oh, so yeah, we'll find somewhere nice to eat. The hotels are all booked. There is a couple of times we are sharing, but we've got our own room, so that's good. But yeah, that's all coming up in January. God, it's going to be exciting the next week. Yeah, so we'll be, it's New Year's Eve, isn't it? Obviously, it's Christmas Eve, so it's when we're recording this. So it's New Year's Eve when we'll be recording our next one, and then we'll be live on New Year's Day, and it'll be almost all over. Is it a bit later this year? Do they normally play on the 3rd?
It's a little bit later, and Q School's earlier as well, so it's all condensing a little bit in there. So it's a little bit harder for content creators to get their bits in and get all their stuff in, but there's just about enough days, I think, to get it all in place. And
any news on Q School? Anybody going that you didn't expect, or anybody not going that you expect? You got any inside info on it?
I don't think you've ever got anyone going that's a surprise nowadays. I think numbers are probably going to be record-breaking numbers. I think there's a lot of people want to get a card. With players that aren't going, no one that we wouldn't expect, you know, they've all announced who's not going and who is going. So,
well, it always used to be, wasn't it, the BDO World Champion, will he go? Or will he spend a year back on the tour as world champion?
That story's gone now. You know, the WDF, you know, as much as it's got a place, but anyone who's ambitious isn't going to stay there. They're going to try and get into the PDC.
It's quite funny that Martin Adams never did it with him when he was winning his world titles, but people forget Martin Adams was on the PDC. He was one of the very first ones.
World match play semi-finalist, I believe. The year they had the dartboard surround with the little diamonds on the outside.
Ah, very nice. Nice. Yeah, so that's one for you out there. He was actually one of the... He might be one of the... No, actually, no. I think he had a year, didn't he? Or just under a year. I was just thinking, could he have spent less time on the PDC than me? But no, I don't think he did. I think he had a year or something. But he's one of those names that people have forgotten or they didn't know actually was on the PDC because he was so, at the time, he was so BDO, wasn't he? And I think he was he either running it or something at one time? He was chairman or something to do with it, but...
It was all before the restrictions came in, didn't they, where you couldn't play in both? Because what you used to do is you used to get round to the World Championships and Kevin Painter, Chris Mason, Martin Adams, they'd all go play Lakeside. They wouldn't go to Circus Tavern. And then they said, like, oh, you're not using our system and then going off to their World Championships. It was like, right, we need to make decisions. So
I'd have liked to see Mace on the PDC at his peak. He was a good player, wasn't he? But you wouldn't have wanted to cross him. You wouldn't. No, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen him on the seniors. I mean, you wouldn't have. Yeah, I'd have loved to see like Gerwin Price turn around and give it like that in Mason's face. You know, like, I think you probably only do it once.
You know what? Right, one of my greatest nights I've had, doing what I do now. So I was sharing a house with Chris Mason. And we were sharing a house together for like a week. And one night I was just sat in the living room and I was just watching telly. Mace came in and he's got a couple of cans of beer. And he goes, do you want a can? I'm like, no, that's fine. And we sat down and we sat chatting for about 5 hours. Time just lost us. We just started off talking and then we ended up going like really deep into things. And he told me pretty much everything. And that was one of the most fascinating, enjoyable conversations I've ever had with anybody on the planet. It was 5 hours that felt like 5 minutes. It was incredible. The guy has got story upon story upon story. He's lived 1,000 lives and And you know when you do you know like when you listen to some people and they're telling you things and you're like, what film did you watch this off then? This ain't your life. You're telling me someone else's life that you've made yourself the main character of. You know we Mace, like it's genuine. Yeah. Like you can tell. You're like, this is, you're telling me your life. This is your story. And if anyone ever gets the opportunity, I mean, he's got a pub in Ilkeston. I think it's the Prince of Wales in Ilkeston. If you've ever got the time, go in, sit at the bar, have a few beers and just listen to the guy because it's amazing. He's got so many stories. Yes, he's been on the wrong side of things, but if you can have a bit of time in his company, wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you've not heard half of mine yet, Matt, and I've not heard half of yours. But if you can just, we've got about five or so minutes here. Cast your mind, see if you can think of something crazy that's happened to you while I'll give you my crazy story that when I tell people this, they do think this is made up. So when I was a DJ when it was my first career, and I lived for a while in the Canary Islands and I had a little nightclub there, and that's what I did. But I used to fly back to England all the time, and I ended up coming back because I missed England, to be perfectly honest. It's great being sunny every day and drinking every night, but you do soon get bored of it. So I'm coming back to England, and I go to it was Lanzarote. So I go to the airport, and the usual in those days, you can imagine the Canary Islands airports was almost like, yeah, can you chuck your bag over there, mate? And yeah, you know, there was no shops. It was so basic. So we do all that, and bags are gone and blah, blah, blah. Right, plane's there. No bus to the, just walk along the tarmac. Along you go, up them stairs, mate, onto the plane. Right, okay, off I go, get on the plane. 15E, yeah, find my seat, go and sit down. 20 minutes later, we're in the air. I'm talking away to the Glaswegian guy next to me, having a right good chat about football and blah, blah. And I'm like, what are you doing in Manchester? He's like, don't live in Manchester, mate. I'm from Glasgow. I was like, yeah, I know you're from Glasgow. I get the accent and everything. I was like, but obviously we're going to Manchester. He's like, this plane ain't going to Manchester. This is the Glasgow flight. And I had got on the wrong plane.
Home Alone 2.
Without anybody checking me. I'd walked up these stairs onto the plane. So, of course, what happens now? The stewardess hears this. I shouldn't be on that plane. Plane has to turn around. I could be a terrorist. I could be anybody. I'm on the right. It just so happened that the same seat number I've got for the Manchester plane is this plane. I'm sat in it. She hears this, got into the pilot. Next minute, very sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Next minute, they come over. They're interviewing me. Plane turns around, lands back down. Armed security come, take me off the plane. Honestly, I just got on the wrong plane. I mean, you can't imagine that happening now. That would be impossible to happen now. But your plane's over there, mate. And he'd obviously pointed to the wrong plane. I just got on it.
You say that. So while you're saying that, like, this is what I mean. You say things and story, ping, 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 different stories in my head. So, I mean, I don't know how many of these stories I should be saying. But, right, so... So one of them, very, very similar sort of thing. So I lost my passport quite a while back. So I got a new one come through. But then I lost that one, but then I found my old one. And I needed to go over to an event on a pro tour. And I was like, right, well, I've not got my passport. And so I used my older. So with flights nowadays, if you don't need to check in a bag, they tend to not check your passport till you get to the plane. If you're not checking in a bag. Right, I've done all these things. Now, I've got a photograph on my phone of my actual passport. So I've put all my details into my actual passport and I've just chanced it. I thought, well, if they turn me away, they turn me away. I've turned up to the airport with my old passport, which is still in date.
No longer valid, yeah.
It's still in date, but not valid, yeah. And they only checked me as I was getting to the plane, and I got on with this old and valid passport. So
when you got off at the other end and they checked, it was, they didn't...
No, they just look at it and go, yep, because it's in date and it's they don't check the number and check the number against the ticket. So on the automated system, I used the actual passport that was valid, so you could see it go up. And then when you get the others, they look, is it you? Is it in date? Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
They don't check the numbers, so I managed to do that. So yeah, that was one. And another one, I armed police. Yeah, this happened to me in Chicago, in America. Oh. So I didn't really travel much at the time, and I said to Steve Hine, I says, just help me out with this. Like, tell me what I need to do and where I need to go. And as we got to border control, he goes, oh, they're going to ask you what you're here for. Don't say you're here for darts. I'm like, why? And he's like, oh, because he goes, although you're not working for a company within America, you're working for outside. He goes, they'll ask you millions of questions about like taxation and are you coming to earn money here? But you're earning outside of it. He says, so it's fine. He says, don't worry about it. And I'm like, well, what do I do? And I went up and I'm like, he goes, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm here for a holiday. And he goes, where are you stopping? I'm like, London, Ontario. He goes, what's in London, Ontario? I'm like, nothing. I don't know, because you've got family here. I'm like, no. So I ended up in armed police in a side interview room. They've got my suitcase on. They're taking the razor blades off my shavers and thing. They took all my shavers. And I ended up with, like, I've got a beard trimmer, and they took all the heads and everything off it. So I didn't even have that. I'm like, you're just being complicated for the sake of being complicated now. You want to do me over? So yeah, I've got loads of stories like that. Like literally, I said Macy's loaded with stories. I mean, you can imagine the amount of travelling I've done, the years I've done. Like, there's so many things.
Somebody
that have gone
put
right
in the comments wrong this week, didn't they? Is there not a darts book? I'm sure we could write a darts book of stories. Definitely. Oh my god, that'd be easy.
A whole podcast on just wacky on travel stories. Like or stories like when you said you went away. Like I nearly died in Salou. So I was on this boat in Salou. I was about 20 years old. At the time, I was wrestling, doing it. I thought I was invincible. I actually had muscle and everything. So I thought I was invincible. We're on this boat ride going around the boats. My mate's gone to me. I dare you to jump off the boat. Not a problem. I'm going to jump off the boat. Ran, flip off the boat. Lovely. At that point, I don't think about certain things. Like, one, my shoes will get really heavy because they'll fill with water, which is going to weigh me down. Another thing is I can't touch the floor because I'm in the sea. The next thing is the wave smashing me in the face with salty water. I didn't think of that because there was like hitting the rocks and coming back and smashing me in the face. So I'm struggling for air, and the boat, which I think is just going to stay, goes. And all I'm seeing is this boat get further into the distance, and a boat can't just turn around like we do or in a car. It's got a big circle. So I was in the water for about 10-15 minutes. I've kicked my shoes off. I'm panicking now because I'm really starting to struggle. I'm getting tired, gasping for air. They pull me on, they have a right go at me in Spanish. I didn't have a clue what they were saying. They're having a right go, and I'm just laying there gasping for air, like, oh. And then we went out that night, right? And we was out and we were just having a few drinks. And then about six girls come over and they're like, oh, you're that guy who jumped off the boat. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. It worked out all right for my mates that I was with. Yeah. They were girls that night. So it was, so every cloud had a silver lining. So if you're out on your holidays, if you do something wacky, you know, you get you a bit of attention, but just do not jump off a boat because it's a bigger problem than you think. And do you know what? So many thoughts went in my head. I don't know if there's sharks in Salou, but I'm thinking about sharks. Like, I'm thinking, what if there's sharks? What if Jaws is around there? Or, you know, in my look, the Megalodon has been found in Salou. You know, that'd be my look.
Oh dear. Yeah, you'll have to get in the comments below if you want me and Matt to do a purely darts tour stories podcast, because that would not be difficult to do. There's plenty. We'd have to maybe just have to think about some of mine that were maybe X-rated and just tone them down a bit. But there's certainly loads to go at. But we will be back next Sunday. Believe it or not, guys, no week off for Matt and Andy. We'll be back next Sunday with another podcast for you. So enjoy this one. Make sure you've subscribed. Make sure you've shared. That's your Christmas present to Matt and Andy. You've shared the channel, Mission Darts Pod, YouTube channel. Share that with somebody you know that's got into darts. I'm sure they'll enjoy it as much as you do. And we'll catch you again in a week.
See you soon.
Merry Christmas, Matt.